The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. Hope you're doing well. We're going to tie a few previous shows together today and bring it under one umbrella in a couple of different ways. As we look at something here local, we got two local things going on here for Raleigh. It's starting tomorrow. Actually, one is tomorrow night. The other one is this weekend. But these are issues that we've talked about before, and these are things that we continue to talk about. For example, tomorrow night here in Raleigh, Wake County School Board Candidate Forum being hosted by Moms for Liberty. We had one of the national women on right after I got back from the convention in Nashville a couple months ago talking about Moms for Liberty. So now they're going to be doing this Wake County School Board Candidate Forum, which is tomorrow night. Okay, it's coming up Wednesday, August 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Wake County Shrine Club. If you live in North Raleigh, you know what that is. You might not remember, but that's on Lead Mine Road. So that's important. And that we're combining with all the people that we've had on the show in the last couple of months running for the Wake County School Board. Just like last week, we had Wing Ng, who was on. And so we're going to continue to talk about the school board races and a lot of things kind of coming together here. So we're excited. On the front of Moms for Liberty here locally, Julie Page is the chapter chair here locally in Wake County. Julie, thanks for calling in. Great to have you on. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So tell us real quick, because it's been probably 6 weeks since I did the Moms for Liberty show and talked about it and unpacked it for a good amount of time. Just give us kind of the 411 on Moms for Liberty. And this is a great organization, everybody, that whether you're here in Wake County or some other part of the nation, Moms for Liberty is growing all over the place. So you can find a chapter and join it easily enough. Just go to momsforliberty.org. But tell us about the organization, Julie, and then let's talk real quick about tomorrow night.
Yeah, Moms for Liberty is a nonpartisan nonprofit, and we're open to moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, anyone in the community that wants to stand up for parental rights at all levels of government.
Yeah, which, of course, this got started down in Florida, and all of us, I think, unfortunately, became a whole lot more aware of what's going on in the public school system. And, of course, the issue of parental rights is a big deal. And Julie, every potential school board member I've had on in the last 2 months, we end up talking about parental rights. And this is something that I think a lot of people took for granted or didn't know they needed to exercise that. Why is this such a big deal for Moms for Liberty? And specifically, let's talk about tomorrow night.
Yeah, it is a big deal, parental rights. A lot of us, like myself, didn't pay very close attention to what was going on in the schools until the COVID shutdown happened. And then our eyes were opened. And we've been left out of the picture for the most part for a long time, but we've just really noticed it the last couple of years, which is why I started the chapter here in Wake County. But tomorrow night, we do have our very first Wake County School Board Candidate Forum, where we'll have many of the candidates running to come and speak and meet and greet with the public.
And that's such an important issue because it's easy for a candidate to kind of hide. We've seen this all over the place. We have a president right now that was able to hide as opposed to coming out and engaging people. I mean, I think if somebody's going to come in and say they want to care for our children, they want to run in our case right here in Wake County, they got to be willing to face the people. You have to be willing to talk to them, be in their personal space, have a conversation and ask tough questions. So what's the format that's going to happen tomorrow night, Julie?
Well, that's right, Steve. I mean, we're looking for candidates that agree with parental rights and are in choice, that will be transparent and have accountability and give us an academic-focused curriculum. We want education, not indoctrination in our public schools. Tomorrow, the candidates will each get 3 minutes to make a statement, and then they will be asked one question that our chapter has come up with. There's 10, and they'll each get one of them, to answer in 2 minutes, and then after that, they can meet and greet with the public.
Yeah, which is an excellent opportunity, and I've been reminding everybody for the last couple of months, Julie, that whether you have children in the Wake County Public School System, hey, listen, we have three kids that are out, they're done, but we homeschool them. Our youngest is going to be a senior and going to be in the public school system just for senior year. Whether my kids are in there or not, for me as a Christian, I have to engage that because it doesn't matter whose kids they are, they're there. And if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, we should all be involved, especially given the weight of this and what it's going to do to the future of the nation. We've already seen the downside of that. So the best way, I guess, for people to get that information, do you have a Facebook page? Because I know you can easily go to, I've got it right in front of me, everybody. If you go to momsforliberty.org, and then right at the top of the page, you see chapters, you click on that. And then you're going to see a map of the U.S. You click on North Carolina, and then boom, you're going to see Wake County. Nice and easy, and all the details are there. But is there a Facebook page? What are the best ways for people to get connected with this? And do they need to register?
They do not need to register, Steve. Just come on in. The public is welcome. You can look us up on Facebook at Moms for Liberty Wake County NC. And you can also shoot us an email at moms4libertywakenc@gmail.com.
Yeah, and again, that's tomorrow night right in North Raleigh. Really easy location, so even if you live in Cary or Apex, wherever you're at, it's super easy to get there. 6 to 8 p.m. at the Wake County Shrine Club, which is at 6015 Lead Mine Road. But again, just going to the Facebook page or going to themomsforliberty.org. I'm putting a direct link up to the information for the candidate forum tomorrow night. I'm going to put that up on Facebook Live here just in a second. And then people can get involved just here locally, right? Julie, setting aside the candidate forum tomorrow night, you want people to join, and when they do, what happens? What's the engagement mechanism?
Yes, we do want people to join and support us. They can join at our website at momsforliberty.org and fill out an application, make an account, and then I will send them an email to get in touch. We hold monthly meetings, and we are definitely looking to expand our membership.
And education being a big part of this, just getting people up to speed on what's actually going on. And then obviously the election coming up, which is why the candidate forum tomorrow night is so important. And then just banding together with other like-minded people. Julie, you know this now as the chapter chair, is super important. And it gives you boldness, it gives you support, and it makes it easier to engage. So it's an awesome opportunity for everybody. We say we care, but what are you doing about it? That's what I'm always going to ask. Julie, thanks so much for calling in. We'll make sure we do a full show on this in the future before we get to the November elections, but I can't thank you enough for being the local chair for Moms for Liberty and all your work. Thanks so much, Julie.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Okay, we'll talk again soon. This is Steve Noble. We'll be Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. So remember that candidate forum, which is super important tomorrow night. I put the links up on my Facebook Live feed right now on the Facebook page. But if you can just go to momsforliberty.org and then look at chapters, go to North Carolina, go to Wake County, and you'll find it. It's pretty easy. You can get there in like 10 seconds. But that's tomorrow night. Super, super important. A candidate forum with like-minded people running for the Wake County School Board. So that's a great opportunity. If you're here in Wake County, you need to get to know these people so that you can vote correctly. But I will give you a little secret. I'm going to tell you exactly who to vote for. That has nothing to do with the show specifically or any radio show I'm on. That's Steve Noble personally, but I always put out my voting picks every 2 years, and you can take them or you can leave them. But they're going to be there, including my picks for Wake County School Board. Okay, so if you trust me, that might make it easier for you. But man, it's a great exercise to actually meet candidates, talk to them face to face. And that's how oftentimes you can get the measure of a man or a woman, right? Not just what they send you in the mailbox with a postcard or what have you. Because it's important that you're thinking and engaging. Speaking of thinking, there's a great podcast out there. This is one of the most popular Christian podcasts in America. It's Just Thinking. It's the Just Thinking podcast with a couple of great men of God. Daryl Harrison, who's the dean of social media at Grace to You, that's John MacArthur's ministry, and Virgil Walker, who's the executive director of operations for G3 Ministries. It's a great podcast. It's very thought-provoking. And here in Raleigh, they're going to be in town coming up this weekend, August 27th. They're going to be at Capital Community Church, and we're going to talk to Pastor Grant Castleberry here in just a second, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. with some hot-button issues, to say the least. So if I say social justice, Do you get all triggered by that? Do you like get all wigged out? Well, this is one of those things because the culture's talking about it. The media's talking about it. Are you capable of talking about it well as a Christian? So they're going to be talking about social justice as well as the Christian's relationship to government. That's this Saturday, okay, here in town in Raleigh with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of the Just Thinking podcast. They're coming to town because of my friend and guest who's calling in right now, Pastor Grant Castleberry from Capital Community Church. Pastor, how you doing, buddy? Good to hear from you.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, and we'll get you back in the studio again. It's been way too long since we've done that, but we'll definitely circle back around on that. How did this kind of get on your radar screen to have a couple of really successful podcasters come out to a local church? How'd this get started?
Well, honestly, probably similar to you. I started paying attention to these guys 2-3 years ago, just with all the social issues that were going on. I just found their podcast incredibly helpful, and I started listening to it. It's a long-form podcast, so some of their podcasts are 2 or 3 hours, I'm sure. Some of your listeners know that, but I was like, man, these guys are awesome. And I found myself listening to their entire podcast, and then just the opportunity came about to host them at Capitol, and I just jumped at that chance. I was like, man, I would love to get these guys into the Carolinas, just expose them to more people, just because what they're saying is so important. Like you said, these are hot button issues. These are cultural issues. You know, the two biggest issues I think that Christians have faced in the public arena in the past 3 years are the issues of social justice and then the relationship to government and everything with all the COVID restrictions and all of those things. And so these guys are just really gifted in this area. And I say in this area, I mean, these guys are biblically minded, and they speak to a lot of different issues on the podcast, not just these two issues. So I want to give them credit for that. But they're going to be speaking on these issues, like you said, this Saturday at Capital Community Church. The theme of the conference is A City Set on a Hill, Being a Christian in a Dark World. And part of this, they're going to be doing some plenary talks, but we're also going to open it up to Q&A. And so anybody that registers can ask them any question that they would like to ask them on any subject, theological, cultural, political. They can ask any subject. So it's going to be just a great event this Saturday, and just inviting everybody that's listening on the Truth Network to come on and enjoy the event with us.
Yeah, and one of the things that I appreciate about these guys, and when I say Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, you guys, unless you're familiar with the Just Thinking podcast, don't have a clue who these people are. One thing that I think is important, especially because you're going to be talking about social justice, as well as the fact that you can ask them anything. These men of God, they're both highly trained, very smart men of God, very biblical, great theology, but they happen to be African Americans. So they're going to have a context and a perspective for a lot of us that you can't have. And I think it's such a great opportunity to be able to get in there and listen and then engage, because we just don't have those conversations very often. And I think for a lot of us, Grant, one of the things I appreciate about the Just Thinking podcast is that that's what it does. It forces you. These are men of God. So when you disagree or to have a different take on something that a fellow Christian who's well-versed in the scriptures has, you should stop and think, because we all see through the glass dimly, don't we? Don't we have to be challenged pretty much at every level?
Absolutely. And I love what you just said, because these guys do bring the Bible to bear chapter and verse, that they're going to, know their Bibles, and they are approaching these issues biblically. And one of the things, like just to give an example, one of the things that the language that was being used in 2018, 2017, a lot of it was racial reconciliation. And one of the big things that Daryl and Virgil talked about is they said, look, when you study the Bible, there's actually not multiple human races.
Right.
There's one human race. So even using the language of racial reconciliation is actually using more of a Darwinian approach to understanding ethnicity than a biblical approach, which teaches one race. So they're just straight down the line biblical.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I just started back my classes today. So I have 8 in-person classes, 2 online classes. I have 156 students. And one of the classes that I teach is civics. Okay, it's civics and constitution. And I challenged them and told them today. And when I have my first day with the rest of my students and the rest of the week, Grant, I'm like, listen, we are not going to come at this. And I do this with U.S. history. We're not coming at this as Americans, primarily. We're not coming at this as men or women, primarily. We're not coming at it as a Republican or a Democrat, a liberal or a conservative primarily. We're coming at it as Christians. And the word of God is going to be our compass. That's going to be our standard. And then we're going to apply it unequivocally to all these different areas. And that's what these guys do. So even though they're conservative theologically, you're going to hear some of that in their political conversation. And because they're African-American, none of that stuff trumps the word of God for these guys. None of it.
That's right. That's right. So how did they get on your radar? I heard about them basically around the George Floyd time period. People mm-hmm. just started telling me, man, you got to go check out the Just Thinking guys. But I'm curious how you first heard about them.
Well, first of all, let me acknowledge that it's very uncommon for a guest to ask the host a question. But I love the fact that you're asking me a question, because most people just sit there and wait for the Inquisition. Yeah. So we are gifted in the Noble family. Our oldest son, Hayden, I've probably told you about him before. He's the one that lives out in San Francisco. He's the most voracious consumer of Christian theological high-end thinking of anybody I know. Whether he's reading, like he just bought a collection of 70 books. Whether he's reading or listening to podcasts, he's always consuming. So I'm going to talk about that. Can I hold you through the break, Grant? Can you keep talking on the other side of the break? All right, I'm going to put you on hold, then I'm going to finish answering your question. And then there's a lesson in there for all of us that I will give full credit to my son, Hayden, because he was raised in a house where he was trained to be a critical thinker. Imagine that. He just doesn't swallow what you're serving him. So I'm going to bring that around, and it'll make sense. We'll be right back.
Oh, angels said from above, you know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to lift me up.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about several things going on here locally. Right now we're talking about the Just Thinking podcast, which is one of the most popular Christian podcasts out there, hosted by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker. These guys are rock solid theologically. They go down all kinds of roads. And even though they're African-Americans talking about social justice, talking about BLM, they're not going to come at those things as their basis of truth is not the skin color. It's the word of God. And so they're coming to town this Saturday at Capital Community Church. They're going to be there this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then also preaching again on Sunday. But a city set on a hill is the name of it. Being a Christian in a dark world. Ding, 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 ding. That is the call for all of us. That's why I'm on the radio. That's why I teach. How do we live as Christians in a dark world? So they're going to be coming in. They're going to be talking about social justice and the Christian's relationship to government, and Q&A. Wide open. Ask them anything you want, which I love, which is why we're talking to Pastor Grant Castleberry from Capital Community Church. Again, buddy, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Let me go back to this, trying to answer your question. Like, how did they get on my radar screen? So it was probably 2 or 3 years ago that our highly intellectual oldest son said, this is what he'll do. Hey, I was listening to a podcast, and they have a perspective here that either I'm struggling with or I'm working through or I thought would be helpful for you, which is a flat-out challenge coming from your oldest son, that maybe my noggin isn't as big as his noggin. So, and we also have a very much, at this point, a iron sharpening iron perspective. So he sends it to me, and I don't know, it was probably a social justice BLM kind of thing. And I was like, okay, well, here we go. And, of course, I prejudged because I pulled it up on the website. And I'm like, okay, a couple African-American brothers who I can be brothers with Christ, obviously. But I wonder what they're going to lean with here. I wonder if they're talking about from a purely skin perspective, which is valid, but never overrides a biblical perspective. And so when I listen to them, I'm like, wow, these guys are rock solid, Grant. And then they were not afraid to take a biblical perspective where it went counter to like a BLM kind of message. Because their allegiance is firm, and that's what started it. That's how I found out about them.
Wow. So what was your response to your son?
Well, I have to give credit where credit is due occasionally. Now, your kids are a little younger, but as they get older and smarter, they will actually, in many ways, surpass you. And that's a difficult thing as a dad when all of a sudden I'm getting schooled by my 27-year-old or my 24-year-old daughter or my 21-year-old son, whatever, or my 17-year-old daughter. And they're right. But I see how God can use that in my own life to be iron on iron. And so every once in a while, I actually have enough tapping into the Holy Spirit enough, I'll humble myself and go, okay, I really needed to hear that. And that's something that I do on the air. I try not to take a right or left position. I try to take a biblical position. And that's why it's so important these guys are coming to town. And now obviously you and I agree they're biblical. They're always going to fall down there. But kind of what about their approach do you like that we can take into our own lives as Christians? Because I think we've largely de-intellectualized the faith, and we're not good at giving an answer for the hope that we have or for any other position that we take.
Yeah, I think they're very forthright in their approach. They're not very much concerned about tone. And in fact, I've seen them on Instagram with coffee mugs that say, I don't care. In other words, I really don't care what people think about me. I want to get one of those mugs. I'm going to ask them for one of those mugs when they come.
Amen.
But I really like that. I really just like that they're just forthright, that they're vocal, that they just said, look, this is where we believe that the Bible falls. And we're not going to apologize for that.
Yeah.
And that's very compelling in this day and age, when people are trying to equivocate and play both sides. Just for people to, you know, you might not agree with everything that they say, but that you know where they fall, and that they're trying to fall where the Bible falls. That's just very refreshing. So I went and heard them preach. Maybe it was just Daryl preaching and Virgil was doing some Q&A stuff. But Tommy Nelson at Denton Bible Church held a conference last year. I think it was called Wokeness in the Gospel. And he just said, we're going to address this, and we're going to get the best guys in the world to come in and speak on it. And so we called these guys. So I flew down to Dallas and went up to the conference, and I was just blown away by their content. So that was part of the impetus behind me saying, okay, let's bring these guys into RDU and give the people here an opportunity to hear them and also meet them. I think they're going to be signing books and things like that. And I know that they'd be more than willing to, you know, talk to the people that come out this Saturday.
Yeah. And again, this is a great opportunity to be challenged and to make sure that you're ready to give an answer. I think that's one of the problems with all my students, all these high school students, Grant. I'll be like, listen, I can mess you guys up awfully fast. I mean, one of the things I'll just ask is, why do you believe the Bible? That's it. That's all I need to ask your average 16-year-old that grew up in church. And they're going to stammer and yada, yada, yada. Why do you believe in this position versus this position? Why are you Republican? Why are you a Democrat? Why do you believe in social justice? And it's like a four-year-old, right? Why? And I think most of us, most Christians struggle with this because we tend to live in an echo chamber where I don't really have to justify my positions because all I'm doing is sharing my positions with people that already agree with me. Do you see the problem there? I think that's a huge problem for us.
Totally.
Which is a problem for the gospel, too, because we're not able to get in and have conversations with anybody at any level. So, of course, we're not going to share the gospel with them.
Totally. And I do appreciate about these gentlemen. If you listen, I would encourage your listeners just to go to iTunes or wherever they download their podcast and just listen to a couple of their podcasts.
Yeah.
You're going to hear that they, when they do present an issue, they will present the other side or the multiple sides if it's, you know, three or four opinions on a particular issue. And they're going to interact with direct quotes from the proponents of those positions. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear the idea engaged from multiple angles, and they're going to do their best to engage it fairly and critically. So that is, it just like the podcast says, it's going to help you think critically. It's going to help you think biblically about the issues and to know the different perspectives that are out there and why this perspective they believe is the most biblical.
Yeah, and so again, the format this Saturday is going to be, they're going to be presenting and going through these things, and then Q&A, right? And then is one of them, who's staying behind and preaching on Sunday at your church?
Yeah, so the format is each of them on Saturday is going to give 1 hour-long plenary talk. And on a Saturday morning, I'm going to do a more personal Q&A and just kind of ask questions about them personally, their testimony, their work with G3 and Grace to You and those types of things. And then in the afternoon, we're going to do a full-throttle open mic Q&A after the plenary talk in the afternoon. So that's Saturday. And then on Sunday, Virgil Walker is going to preach Sunday morning at Capitol. And then Sunday night at 6, he's going to do another Q&A.
Wow.
Virgil is. So everybody's invited. You can sign up on our website at capitalcommunitychurch.com, and there's a form to sign up for the Saturday conference and event. It includes lunch, free coffee, you know, all of that stuff. So I would love to see as many people come out Saturday as we can.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And again, this is about equipping. It's dealing with maybe where some of us are off from a biblical perspective on certain issues, how to address these issues biblically. And I think it's just good training on how to think critically, which we really are having a problem with that again, because most of us just avoid coming up against people or having conversations with people that vehemently disagree with us. And so you never, it's like, hey, Grant, he's been going to the gym for the last 20 years. Wow, that's incredible. You don't look huge. You're like, well, what's the deal? Well, I work out with Twinkies and 2-pound weights. Well, okay, you're not going to get anywhere. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. So Saturday, August 27th is Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then again on the 28th, Sunday the 28th, 10:45 a.m. service where Virgil's going to preach, and then he'll be there again at 6 p.m. CapitalCommunityChurch.com. I just put the direct link up several times on the Facebook live feed. CapitalCommunityChurch.com. If you live anywhere near Raleigh, it's closer to downtown Raleigh. Pretty easy, convenient location to get to. And it's just going to be an awesome event. I'm working on my calendar so I can get there too as well. Will I be allowed to ask a question, or are you going to hide me in the back?
Man, I'll give you the first opportunity.
We'll come out with a bang. Thanks, Grant, for bringing these guys
Absolutely.
To town and for facilitating. Thanks for all you do for the kingdom and their Capitol community. God bless you, brother. I'll see you soon, and then we'll get you back on the show as well.
See you soon.
All right, pal. Thanks. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you later. That was Pastor Grant Castleberry, which, by the way, if you're in Raleigh, you're closer to downtown, you're like, man, we need to find a great church. He's a great pastor. Okay, I know a bunch of people there. It's a great church. He is a great pastor, great thinker, served our nation. So he's kind of, and he's from Texas. So he's kind of got the whole thing going on. CapitalCommunityChurch.com. I mentioned the other day Alex Berenson, who sued Twitter and won. And one of the reasons he won is because Twitter was colluding with the Biden administration to kick him off of Twitter and suppress speech, i.e., the First Amendment. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame.
Okay, a little Johnny Cash for you. And I thought I saw this was coming. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. I thought I saw this recently, earlier this year, and then got an email earlier today. So John and Andy Irwin, the filmmakers at Kingdom Story Company, who have been friends for years, are like right now they've wrapped up filming and they're editing and putting together the Jesus Movement, the Jesus Revolution, Jesus Movement movie, which is kind of wrapped around Pastor Greg Laurie's story because he got saved during that, which Pastor Chuck Smith and everything. They did a thing about, what's his name? The guy that was a great movie actor, died of cancer, loved to fly. Not Paul Newman, the other guy. Steve McQueen. They did the story of Steve McQueen's conversion with Greg Laurie. So they're doing these kind of documentary biopics, and they're doing one, Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon. At the end of his rope, Johnny Cash stumbled into a cave and laid down in the dark, but death didn't come calling. God did. Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon, is the untold story of how the man in black saw the light. So he came back to faith, okay? So you've got never-before-heard conversations with the man in black, Johnny Cash. The documentary follows Cash's road to redemption and return to his faith. As country music stars Marty Stewart, Winona Judd, Tim McGraw, faith leaders Greg Laurie and Franklin Graham, and many others share their insights into the life and legacy of that artist. And so that's going to be awesome. That's coming out December 5th, 6th, and 7th. That'll probably be like a limited showing. They do those where you get your tickets in advance, yada, yada, yada. And that's my friends John and Andy Irwin at the Kingdom Story Company. So Johnny Cash, the redemption of an American icon. I'll get those guys on before we get to December and talk about that. So that'll be awesome. All right. I mentioned this on Friday and didn't get to it. This is a really important story. And here's the title. This is from Wall Street Journal last week. Alex Berenson was kicked off the site being Twitter, at the White House's urging. That's a violation of the First Amendment. So this is on Wall Street Journal, August 17th. Okay. Alex Berenson, who was really effective at speaking against the government narrative on COVID and masking and all the other stuff. Okay. And of course, no. Big tech can't allow for that, can't allow for a conversation, can't allow to check the narrative with, you know, hashtag science and statistics and facts. Can't do that. So they shut all those people down. Alex Berenson, one of the biggest. So here's from this story. In January 2021, we, Wall Street Journal, argued on these pages that tech companies should be treated as state actors under existing legal doctrines when they censor constitutionally protected speech in response to governmental threats and inducements. The Biden administration appears to have taken our warning calls as a how-to guide for effectuating political censorship through the private sector, and it's worse than we feared. Facts that Mr. Berenson unearthed through the discovery process confirm that the administration, Biden, has been secretly asking social media companies to shut down the accounts of specific prominent critics of administration policy. Welcome to the Banana Republic. On July 16, 2021, a reporter asked President Biden, on COVID misinformation, what's your message to platforms like Facebook? Mr. Biden replied, they're killing people. The president later said he meant users were killing people. Later that day, Twitter locked Mr. Berenson's account, and on August 28th, it banned him permanently. Last Friday, Mr. Berenson published conversations from an actual internal Twitter Slack channel. That's an internal communication platform for a business, okay? Referring to an April 2021 meeting with White House officials, one Twitter employee noted that the meeting overall was, quote unquote, pretty good, but added that the White House, quote, had one really tough question about why Alex Berenson hasn't been kicked off from the platform. Another employee asked, quote, any high-level takeaways from the meeting? Anything we should keep an eye out for, unquote? The first employee responded, yes, they really wanted to know about Alex Berenson. The employee wrote that Andy Slavitt, then a senior White House COVID advisor, quote, suggested they had seen data, viz, that had showed he was the epicenter of disinfo that radiated outwards to the persuadable public. Okay, viz probably stands for visualization and disinfo for disinformation. So here's what the Biden administration at the time is that Alex Berenson is effectively pushing back on our COVID narrative, which allows us to control, well, pretty much everything. So we got to do something about this guy. Back to the article. Mr. Berenson wasn't the only target. At a July 15, 2021 White House press briefing with Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, Press Secretary Jen Psaki at the time said, we're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. Remember, disinformation is any information that is contrary to the government's narrative. There's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation on social media platforms. So now the government's going to target your free speech. That's a problem. Ms. Psaki went on to say of the 12 that, quote, all of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including ones that Facebook owns. At the same briefing, Dr. Murthy called on social media companies to purge more COVID posts. We're asking them, to direct quote, to consistently take action against misinformation super spreaders on their platforms. Recent Freedom of Information Act disclosures show that a week later, Nick Clegg, a former UK deputy prime minister and now Facebook parent Meta's president for global affairs, emailed Dr. Murthy to thank him for meeting with Facebook and to report on, quote, the steps we took just this past week to further address the disinfo dozen. We removed 17 additional pages, groups, and Instagram accounts tied to the disinfo dozen, resulting in every member having had at least one such entity removed. Oh, yippee-ki-yay, give yourself a pat on the back. He added that Facebook was, quote, continuing to make four other pages and profiles, which have not yet met their removal thresholds, more difficult to find on their platform. That's suppressing the information. So, hey, all of a sudden, my Facebook page isn't getting as many likes or as many views. That happened to me 2 years ago. It still hasn't gone back to its original position and power and influence. We don't have near the traffic that we used to. Because they can literally just turn down the dial because they don't want your information in the public. That's what's going on here. In response to these and other inducements and threats, social media companies were already suppressing speech about COVID. That was well within the bounds of legitimate debate and sometimes proved accurate. Facebook had banned anyone from saying that COVID might have originated in the lab in Wuhan. It did. Or that the COVID vaccines didn't prevent infection. They don't. They're not vaccines. When the government exploits these legislative inducements to target specific critics for censorship, it has crossed a constitutional Rubicon. Targeting, punishing, and silencing dissenters is the paradigmic First Amendment violation. The Biden administration using big tech as its private censorship arm, and that violates what the Supreme Court in Norwood versus Harrison from 1973 called an axiomatic principle. The government may not induce, this is directly from the hearing, may not induce, encourage, or promote private persons to accomplish what it is constitutionally forbidden to accomplish, meaning stripping U.S. citizens of their right to free speech. The administration's behind-the-scenes use of social media companies to evade the First Amendment seems to be a continuing unabated. In April this year, Ms. Psaki, who is still the White House press secretary, said, quote, "We engage regularly with all social media platforms about steps that can be taken, and I'm sure that will continue." Democracy depends, at the end of this article, on free and open debate. You want free speech? You know what the answer to the free speech problem or disinformation is? More information, more conversation, more engagement, not less. If government officials continue to deputize private companies to stifle dissenters, it's high time for federal courts to deliver them a reminder. If it's state action in disguise, the Constitution applies. Right? Nice little rhyme there. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. So right here at the end of the Wall Street Journal article, if it's state action in disguise, the Constitution applies. So the Biden administration, i.e. the federal government, worked with, colluded with, not Russia, colluded with Twitter to strip Alex Berenson's First Amendment rights to utilize his voice, his expertise, his research, his opinion on Twitter. And they won. Alex Berenson won. There was a settlement. Twitter just reinstated in the last couple of days, reinstated his account, and publicly said that what they did was wrong. Because you actually found a fair-minded judge who was a Clinton appointee, but whose allegiance is to that old crusty document known as the Constitution. Now, I was listening earlier today to Alex Berenson on Clay Travis and Buck Sexton's show. They took over Rush Limbaugh's show. And he said, "I am suing the government next." He is going to sue the federal government who is trying to strip him of his constitutionally protected First Amendment rights. Praise the Lord. First Amendment, constitutionally protected freedom of speech rights, matters to me as a Christian because eventually they're going to throw hate speech stuff in there. We're going to limit speech. It's not free speech for everything. We don't believe in free speech for hatred. And if the gospel to some people isn't hateful, I don't know what is. You're telling me, Steve, that if I don't believe what you believe, I'm going to a place called hell forever? Like, you think that's like eternal fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth, torment. You're telling me I'm going there if I don't believe what you believe? That is so hateful. You're freaking me out, dude. You're dangerous. I actually feel threatened by that. There you go. So the gospel for the devil is the ultimate target of the stripping away of free speech. So it's the frog in the pot. And the federal government's getting more bold all the time. Alex Berenson fought back. And he won. And he's going to sue the government. He sued Twitter and he won. Now he's going to sue the government. Good for him. If you don't fight for your rights, you don't have any. So don't be a wallflower, friends. You have to stand up for rights. You have to understand your rights and then you have to stand up for them, or you don't have any at all. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.